When I talked to the Coast Guard about the cleanup that was done on this quote-unquote very little spill, the Coast Guard was at pains to say there were no dispersants used to clean up the spill. BP was also at pains to say there were no dispersants used to clean up the spill. But in effect, that's actually not really accurate, since the dispersants ship with the tar sands oil. Am I getting that right?
You got that is right. There are also products. If you're specific in your question, they're going to be very specific in their answer. So perhaps I might suggest a better way to phrase that is, what products were used? Were any products? Dispersant being one category of product. The National Contingency Plan is horribly outdated, and it doesn't require freshwater spills product to be listed. What was used, how much was used, when it was used. Dispersants, maritime, yes. So just rephrase that a little bit more generally. And that's one of the things that people have brought out. Because the thing is, if you get sick, you go to your doctor, and your doctor's going to say, well, when, where, why, what were you exposed to? And you're going to say, I don't know, right? Doctors need to know. And this is the best thing I can say is, with all these crazy laws, broken laws that are being passed right now, I mean, they got gag orders on doctors in Pennsylvania where you can work with a client, a patient who's sick from fracking, but you can't talk to this doctor who's working with this client. Well, that's epidemiology. That's how the doctors figure out what's going on. They're gagged, okay? They wouldn't be passing these laws if they didn't think we were on them. We were onto them, and that they're afraid of us, right? So.
They use trade secrets.
So on dispersant, I totally realize I haven't given you any websites. Dispersantban.org is, I'm working with a group of folks from all over the country, inland and not, to demand a review contingency plan, which is horribly outdated. It doesn't even cover tar sands and shale oils. It doesn't cover what type of oil spills. That's why the Whiting Refinery never had to say what type. Why? Because in 1968, there was only one type, conventional oil. It could be any kind, but it was conventional. It wasn't like tar sands, okay? So on dispersantban.org, you'll see what the citizens have done to date. There's an online petition, but there's also a very meaty 120 pages that I wrote. I just rewrote the darn thing, okay? So it's on there, and we're going to be building support for that. We've talked to, we would be Deborah Michaud and company, and we've talked with Alliance for Great Lakes, and they're very interested in doing a Great Lakes-specific call for action, just because you have this beautiful body of fresh water here. So there are specific reasons to amend the National Contingency Plan to protect this. So there's things moving forward. Yes, and yes.
You haven't mentioned Petco. That's an issue over on the east side of Chicago, on the Calumet River. I don't know if that's something that interests you here, thinking at all, but...
Yes, and we just kind of did a little itty-bitty tour, and the Petco piles are down, but I hear they come back, and... Petco is a byproduct of tar sands, so, and unfortunately...
Well, not only the piles along the river, but I understand they're shipping it by rail all over the area.
Right, and it's in the air, and it's the ultrafine particles that are going to be causing health problems. And the industry I just discovered through Earl. Earl is a visiting from Oklahoma. Folks might want to talk to him while we're eating dinner. He's active on the tar sands and fracking and other issues. But I learned from Earl, and it made perfect sense, that the industry got... Petcoke is a waste. So it really should be discarded. But there's an exemption that if you can turn that waste into a product, then you can ship it and you can do all this stuff with it. And we really need to tighten up some of our nation's environmental laws that were passed in the 70s. That just aren't current anymore. And that's certainly one of the aspects. So yes, it is a concern, and I'm just starting to realize how big a concern it is when we drove over here, holy cow. Okay, yes.
The name that the states in the name of the people shall be free and independent. If you become, if you end up thinking the way you're told to think, you're never going to have a Republican form of government. I'm not going to bother you with your show here. I'm not going to fight with you, but I invite you to duel with me on the net.
Well, I don't know about that, but I will certainly look into what you've said. So what he said was that the Declaration of Independence is actually not, sorry, I'm repeating it. Correct me if I got you wrong, but the Declaration of Independence, that it should more properly be called the Declaration of the 13 Colonies? Is that what you said?
The unanimous declaration, that's a legal term. The whole thing was a complaint at law made by the people.
So unanimous.
The first Congress, unanimous declaration. It was a declaratory judgment, which you and I can both do.
So
just you don't know how to do it, so you pay the attorneys to not do it, and then you say, I guess we can't do anything.
So
the attorneys took our money and ran.
This gentleman's point is that we have to unlearn a bunch of stuff we learned. And I agree with that, totally. And with the advent of the social media and network, what I'm finding in audience after audience are folks like, heck, I hit an 11-year-old kid once in one talk, 50 people standing room only in this little tiny room, and I was going through what I'm going to be going through tomorrow. I hit 1803, Madison versus Marbury, when the Supreme Court decided they were supreme and completely broke the system of checks and balances. And this voice in the back, which was very deep and fooled people at first, was like, well, I happen to believe in the judicial review, and I can see that it's a kid, okay? And so this kid is proceeding to talk with me about this, and finally other people are like, well, this is very intelligent. And they all turned around like this, and then they went like this, because it was a kid. And people were like, and so I'm finding this is wonderful. We are all revisiting. I do encourage people. Move to Amend has a bunch of resources. Ultimate Civics, which is my contribution to Move to Amend, ultimatecivics.org. There is a manual I've put together that's going to have all the resources from tomorrow, the PowerPoints, the so that other people can share it and train other people and help us relearn our history. And there's a resource button on there that if you go to that, it will cover the timeline that I'm going to talk about tomorrow of steady erosion of our constitutional rights, undermining. So thank you. So did I see? Yes.
From my standpoint, I've been working with the Academy Project for almost 20 years. It's an environmental justice organization here in Northwest Indiana. And every time we have an issue, it's like we need talking points. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't ask the right question, mm-hmm. they just make a complete fool of you. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get Denny Larson from Richmond, California. He's with the Global Community Monitor. And we sat down with BP and negotiated with them over a five-year period to at least install a state-of-the-art monitoring team and website out there when they have these flare-ups so that at least organizations like ourselves can go online and see what actually was emitted into the air.
Nice, but
what's happening now? They finally installed it, but now they're saying we didn't say it was going to be real time.
Oh, sure. Well, another thing to watch out for is because they asked for this on the North Slope of Alaska, Inupiat folks, because the asthma shot up to like 98% in their village from nothing, okay, once the flaring started. So there happened to be a physician's assistant who was also the mayor, and so she was noticing all this and documenting it, and she asked them to install these monitoring equipment and monitor particulates. So what'd they do? They went for a size of 10 and over when it's the 2.5 and lower that are the ultrafine particles. So 3 years of data, they said, Rosemary went and said, well, let's see it, and it's worthless, right? So you got to, yeah, so right. And what's the academy's name?
I didn't hear you.
What was the academy's name?
The Academy Project.
The Calumet Project.
I have a packet for you.
Oh, lovely.
Put it together for you.
All right, so she's talking about the Calumet Project and how they need talking points, and because they got the BP to install monitoring so that people would at least know what was in the air when the flaring happened. And now they're discovering that there was several caveats. We're not talking real time. We're probably not talking the right particulates either.
Yeah. So what's the point?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So. Oh, sorry.
The Louisiana Bucket Brigade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Own monitoring
mm-hmm.
the air, and they used an EPA.
But
they were successful at least at figuring out what was in the air by using.
That's how we were able to get it at the table with our bucket brigade. We're the only organization in Indiana.
Oh, so you have a bucket brigade. Okay, perfect. Because one of the things that I'm doing right now is another reason I'm here is. I'm starting, okay, so here's the third website. So we have dispersantband.org, we have ultimatecivics.org, and we have alertproject.org. And Alert Project is a model of a hub and spokes, and the hub are the trainers, and the spokes are the regions of the country that are at risk from oil development. And one of the things I'm doing is I'm kind of scouting to see where are the resources? Who are the doctors who are interested in getting continuing medical education units on this? Who are the people who can are interested in doing environmental monitoring? Where are the key groups that could do community health surveys? And if there were trainers that did a program that you could give it in to let people know about environmental health, environmental medicine, environmental disease, proper diagnosis and treatment. Right. This is all about educating and sharing and bringing up the collective intel here. So let's talk. Yes. Sorry. Yes.
My question is, why do you talk about alternative energy sources? Because they don't exist.
okay.
All of these alternatives you talk about, say, hydro, takes concrete. You make concrete mm-hmm. with fossil fuel. These windmills, they take all sorts of metals. You mine metals mm-hmm. with fossil fuels, solar, any and all types of alternative energy sources require fossil fuel inputs. So I'm asking you, why do you keep alluding to this idea that there's some alternative universe of energy sources when there is none at this point?
Well, if we cut the subsidies from oil, which is about $4,000 now for every man, woman, and child, and leveled the playing field, we would increase the innovation on what could really work. We have got stuff that would, I think, not natural gas, and not nuclear, that would actually help us bridge. And what I've been in different regions of the country talking about and listening to people is that people are going to go, well, you know, we've got this here. We don't have like sun like in Alaska down like what we have in the Gulf, all right? So it's going to be different types of energy in different regions. I don't think we're going to have the one shoe fits all fossil fuel everywhere anymore. I think we have to go bioregional. I think we have to go with the energy that's in the place, heat pumps. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I know that there could be a lot more innovation going on right now if we leveled the playing field a lot better.
It's also proportionate.
Proportionate?
Yeah. If I end up using an energy source that even though it takes fossil fuels to develop it, but I'm using one-fifth.
Right.
Then
oh,
what
I see.
I'm doing is I'm supporting then four-fifths higher in
right.
terms of population.
So you're talking lower the carbon footprint.
It's like, is there a pure source for, you know, 7 billion people? No, but it's all proportional.
Yeah, we could do better than we're doing right now. Is there, I'm sorry, wait, hang on, there's a guy behind you that I'm pointing to.
The other thing is that the banking industry, the investment industry, is already way ahead on this. That centralized generating facilities are bad investments.
Yeah.
And they're advising people to steer clear. And many such industries, utilities, especially in Europe, have declined in value significantly.
Yeah.
People are moving away, and it's happening globally. And it's leapfrogging all the mistakes that were made in this country.
And I wish we'd leapfrog some of that to China, because God. But just one more point on that is that, I mean, when we are running out of the cheap, conventional fossil fuel. You know, you put a pipe in the ground and out comes oil, all right? So that's driving the industry towards these what are called unconventional oils produced by unconventional methods, not just sticking a pipe in the ground. And that tends to be sort of the dregs of the fossil fuel barrel here. We got the tar sands, and we got this extremely light oil, the Bakken shale oil that's, you know, exploding. And we've also got a whole other issue with the climate going on that I didn't get a good feel for. Let me try this. How many of you, and you can do one, this means no, I don't believe in this at all. This means I'm totally on board with it. And one means, oh, it's got my attention, I'm following it a little, two, three, four, five, all right? So I want to ask about climate chaos. What's the, was also called, which I don't, what's your feeling? What are you thinking about that? You don't believe in it at all, you believe in it a lot, you believe in it a little. So I see people with hands up. So, you know, good news? When I started on tour in 2004, this wasn't happening, okay? So increasingly seeing more and more of the audience, and this isn't to blame anybody, this is just, I know about corporate marketing and corporate media, but where I'm coming from is, I kind of agree with James Hansen, that who's the climate, NOAA, former NASA scientist, he retired, that if we pursue tar sands, oil, it's game over for the climate. Well, if we lose the climate, we might be talking about all of us as well. So I'm kind of thinking that we're a smart species and we need to, like, you know, head this off. So I'm hopeful. I do teach fifth grade through university. I know the numbers. I know it's not looking good. I'm hoping that we will do what Dave suggested, which is you are intelligently... and bridge to something that will get us into the future in a safe, healthy way. So, yes.
You know, getting back to the laws and fairness, what I see here in this region is, especially since the mills went down, businesses like the truck stops come in, and most of the major oil corporations are running them now, like BP, for instance. And they're allowed, they throw some money around in these depressed cities, and they're allowed to operate with impunity. And I've basically had a 30-year unpaid job monitoring the truck stops in Gary for what they've done. And I guess their attitude is it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. They pollute, and then when, you know, they say, oh, there's laws in place, but they never put any remedies, what will happen in the specific cities if they do pollute. And then if you go higher up to our environmental agencies, like the Indian Department of Environmental Management, if you do report something and you show them, what they do is they work with them and under a consent decree, which I found out, you know, I thought, oh, they're doing something, and I found out a consent decree, you know, is they're allowed to be good neighbors, not admit that they polluted, clean it up, and all is forgiven. And that just strikes me to no end. And, like, how do you get your legislators and your governor to see that that's a good way to go?
Okay, so how do I, way in the back, did you hear
a
little bit of this?
For them to do what's right.
Did you kind of hear this? Okay, so there's no incentive to do what's right is the bottom line. Believe it or not, I've been reading books about how to social movements and popular movements, and There's a great book out now by a lawyer, Mary Wood, out of Eugene, Oregon, called Nature's Trust. And it talks about how things are broken. I mean, she gives basically her thesis is that, look, we've got this great body of laws and they're not working. So what happened? And what can we construct that will come at this a different way to have the laws work as intended, where we are more balanced in our wealth, our environmental, social, and economic. And she goes all the way back to Roman law with the public trust doctrine. This is about fiduciary responsibility of the federal government to protect the water, the things that we all need to survive as a people, the climate, the air, the whatever. And I'm seeing people get restless, so we're going to wrap it up after this, go get some food, and then just sit informally and talk, okay? But I want to kind of end on a... So what we do is we keep after them. When there's elections, we try to get, you know, the people in that we want in. There's a pledge going on in Alaska right now called We the People Alaska, where the politicians take a pledge that corporations are not persons. So this change takes a little bit. It is broken right now. But just for example, one of Mary Wood's students started something called Our Children's Trust, which I suggest you go look at when you get depressed. And Our Children's Trust is all 50 states, children under 18, who have sued the United States government over breach of fiduciary responsibility for their generation based on climate. The trouble is the kids keep growing up and they turn 18. So I'm a recruiter. If you know any bright, this is 9-year-olds on up, and those kids are conversant and they know how to explain this stuff, and they can talk to legislatures and they can talk to city councils. And believe me, when kids start explaining this, it makes a difference. If you know any bright kids, go on to Our Children's Trust, and you know they're working with these kids. And these are some of the top scientists and lawyers in the country, so it's a real incredible opportunity. So I think we're going to just take a break, and I will queue up movies later if we want to see little clips. And Dave is waving his hand.
I had a request to turn the lights for photo ops.
Oh, yeah, we can turn. Is it turning the lights back on okay with everybody? All right, so thank you all. There's some great food out there. Thanks for... Oh, you know what? Jeez! I got to pass a hat, okay? I am literally... This is crowdsourcing at a very basic level. And you know, I'm just glad you're all here. So first of all right? So it doesn't matter, all right? But I appreciate anything that